Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to this later than usual Wednesday edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. I am Pod Vader. I apologize for the lateness. Hey, I'm a busy guy. I got lots of things going on. But we do have a very strong interview today with Jay from Razzball. He finally made me eat some humble pie, and I got beat in the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League. So we're going to talk to him about our matchup and sort of some of the things to look for in fantasy moving forward as the season progresses. And then after that, I'm going to give you a preview of the Thursday night game. I'd love to give you one from the Superfans, but alas, our Miami Superfan was busy at a conference, and our Bengals Superfan, well, English Simon, he's English. What can you say? I'm sure that's going to get me some emails, which I'd love to read from the Next Fan Up email inbox, nextfanup@gmail.com. You're going to want to send those emails because we're going to pick our email of the week. And when we do pick our email of the week, you're going to win $20 from us. That's right. We're going to send you a $20 gift card just for sending us an email. So get those emails sent in, nextfanup@gmail.com, and I'll send you a $20 gift card. It's that easy. That is, of course, if you are the email of the week. So get those emails in, nextfanup@gmail.com. All right, enough of that. Let's get to our interview. Here is Jay from Razzball talking fantasy football. Let me introduce you to the first man who made me a victim in the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy League. It is Jay from Razzball. At least you have the right name, Jay.
Yeah, we both do. I will vote for that. But misery loves company, so I'll let you have your little space there with the loss.
We were the matchup undefeated teams. There's still a couple of other undefeated teams in the league, but I mean, this was a big week for control of the league, and you took it. You took the bull by the horns and had a huge week from your running backs, David Johnson and Carlos Hyde, and then of course the Bills defense stepped up for you.
Yeah, I made a few mistakes. I did leave Blunt on my bench. I think that's rooted in the fact that I don't trust Bill Belichick ever, so I kind of get scared when I'm trying to make any moves with New Englanders next to their name. But it worked out in a way in which I couldn't fathom the Bills and Justin Tucker. I can't say that was calculated, even though I revel in their success. I mean, it looks like if I did the math right, they scored me 858 points combined.
Yeah,
that's correct. So.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't the KC defense that did it to you. So I think the best part about my team, though, is I kind of built it to try to survive the Le'Veon Bell absence, and I get him next week at 3-0. So I'm really confident that, you know, it's basically trading for a first-round pick for free in my eyes. So hopefully that'll kind of propel me to do well even further.
Yeah, it's you've got one of those teams where you've done – you know, some nice things in terms of the depth on your bench and playing around the Le'Veon Bell suspension with the running backs that you have. Great job by you. Meanwhile, on my team, Ben Roethlisberger decides to stink it up against the Philadelphia Eagles, which was a complete and total surprise. How much of week three was a surprise for you? Because to me, I was blown away by what was going on.
Well, we talked about this a little bit before we started the call, but I was pretty stunned that the Eagles were able to run away with this. Now, them winning the game, it was negotiable on whether or not they could, but I felt going into I wrote this on the site too, that this was kind of a show me game, your basic show me game. Like we know the Steelers are, you know, an average team, but they could show that they're getting ahead in their division by going 3-0, a pretty good start. And the Eagles could prove that they're for real. You know, they didn't have really a tough schedule in the first two games, and, you know, preseason expectations were pretty low. I think it was either dumpster fire or basement dweller, whichever nomenclature you prefer. But they're, I think, riding on the Carson Wentz train. They're doing pretty well. They beat a legitimate team, I feel like, and they beat them solidly with a good defense, which I thought was going to be their weak point this year. And I mean, who Darren Sproles, even when we're talking fantasy wise too, you feel like he's kind of the running back version of Vincent Jackson, or maybe, you know, maybe that's a dated comparison, but he's kind of a guy who is there for you 1 week that you don't start him. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to get 20 points from them this week. And then he's not in the game at all. He gets like two snaps. But he seems to be making himself viable. I'd say I think when you look at the Eagles, there are just so many things here that, for them to be at this point of the season 3-0, Carson Wentz doing well, so many things need to go right for them, and they have so far. Will the other shoe drop? It's still early in the season, but they've definitely proven that they're a legitimate above average team, I guess it's fair to say.
Yeah, it is early in the season. I'm wondering how much we overreact too to some of the early happenings. You know, I'd spoken with Joel Hanard after week one about how it appears that the NFL is really moving towards this running back by committee approach. And you, lo and behold, you have three running backs who all scored over 20 points this week. So it's just sort of like was that an overreaction or was this an outlier week?
I think it could be. You know, when you're talking about the meta of football, I think every week can be an outlier just because the small sample size you're dealing with. You know, when again, not to bring it up, but I also discuss with my readers when trying to gauge when you start making moves and when you start to panic. I kind of tried to relay it, you know, comparing it to baseball, and that, you know, our week three is basically their game like 40. You know, so in that aspect, you should start trying to gauge your team, try to figure out what you need, what your weaknesses are, trading now. Because, I mean, to do it on week one and week two, that seems way too early. But even week three, what do you have to work with? Three games? Well, look at Randall Cobb, for instance. We don't know whether it was Aaron Rodgers who's been kind of not meeting expectations for a little bit, even though he did well against the Lions. Although, I'll be honest, my grandmother could do well against the Lions. And, you know, she's been she's been dead for 10 years. So, I mean, is there something wrong with Randall Cobb? Is he hiding an injury? I doubt it. There'd probably be reports on that. I mean, so is three games enough to tell if a player is complete and utter, you know, nothing on your team? Like if it's an anchor holding you back, or it's tough to tell. Like you look at Todd Gurley. I've seen him getting sold, you know, 10 cents on the dollar. And it's like, why? I mean, just stick with the guy for a while. I mean, even Carlos Hyde, people were buying in week one, then selling in week two. And look, he comes out and puts up, you know, granted, it was garbage time, most of his production, but it's still production to a fantasy player. So I think we're still, you know, long story short, I think we're still in this sort of like weird neutral zone, to bring up a Star Trek term for some reason. I don't know why, but we're like in this neutral zone where we don't quite know what's going to happen. But at what point do we realize if it's for real or not? I'm afraid it'll be too late, because once you get to week six or seven, and you're already thinking about playoffs at that time when things have started to stabilize. So it's a fantasy football only thing, and I think it varies. I think with each season, each game, it's just so different, and it's very organic the way it works too. So it's really hard to put something hard like some hard data to use.
I'm one of those stupid idiots who likes to invest in defenses. And so I have the Panthers defense, and I think I drafted them pretty early in total relation to the draft. The Panthers defense is not what we once thought it was. I mean, they've allowed 21, 27, 22 actual points, and they've only scored 8, 14, and 4 fantasy points. Now, you look at the two teams that they played fairly poorly against, at Denver, home to Minnesota. Looks like Minnesota might actually be the real deal, which is surprising to say. And then they did okay against San Francisco. So do you think the Panthers defense is the same defense we were used to, or are they now just going to feed off of bottom feeders?
Well, I mean, a lot of it has to do with schedule as well. You know, you went through the schedule. They have Atlanta, Tampa Bay, New Orleans coming up. New Orleans is probably a tough game, but you probably want them against Atlanta, Tampa Bay. Some of it's also, like you also said, the expectations of the other team. You know, Minnesota, for one, how could you say they're for real? But if they prove it on the field and they do it against the Carolina defense, props to them. But you're also watching as, you know, your top five defense doesn't put up that production. Like, for instance, I don't mean to bring my team up in a bragging manner, even though I'm patting myself on the shoulder. I know you can't see me, but you know, with the Bills defense, before I had the Bills defense, I had the Chargers defense. I drafted them just for, you know, I'm a Chargers fan, so I was like, I'll draft him. And then I'll stream from that position, and I was able to find the Bills matchup. I thought it was okay, and yet they provided 21 points to the Panthers 4, which, you know, it's on a week-to-week basis, but it won't always be like that. If you keep the Panthers defense throughout the entire season, I'm sure the aggregate will be better than whatever I do when I'm streaming. But sometimes the matchup just works out and augments what my team, you know, like my wide receivers did nothing this week. Well, that won't always be the case. Amari Cooper won't always score in the single digits. And hopefully neither will Decker. But neither will the Bills defense get 20 points. So at least when you draft a team like you did so high, team defense, you're at least buying into the stability of it. You know, granted that, you know, they had one good game so far, but that shouldn't be true over the next 10 or so.
I hope so. Hey, what did you see in that Bills matchup? Because I going into that, I thought Arizona was going to wax them.
Yeah, this was kind of a gut feel for me. I just, you know, I felt like with Arizona, it's just Carson Palmer hasn't looked terribly good so far. Like something seems, his arm strength isn't really, I wouldn't say it's up to what he's used to. I understand that he's been injured about half his career, but even then, even starting in week one, something just looked off. I'm not a doctor, you know, much to my mother's chagrin, but, you know, I just had a feeling that, especially with the Bills, some of it's also not tangible in that, you know, coming off the Bills firing of, you know, their offensive coordinator, maybe they wanted to, they had their, I don't know how that affects teams, but you could say maybe emotionally it affects how players perform. I guess that was a long way of saying, going back to my original point, it was kind of a gut feel. I just looked at the matchup and felt all right about it. I felt much better about it than, you know, the Chargers defense going against the Colts. So I definitely thought that was an upgrade. So
you mentioned how we're now sort of in week three. We should start getting a feel, as my computer goes ding, we should start getting a feel about where we feel fantasy is heading. You know, what are some of the trends that you're looking at right now?
Well, again, it's trying to figure out, you know, who you're going to buy low on. You know, I mentioned guys like a Cobb or a Gurley. I feel like if there's nothing wrong, you know, on paper and reports or what you've seen, that sooner or later they should bring you something. I mean, Randall Cobb in particular, just because I've been hammered on him over and over again, because I'm still kind of a proponent for Cobb. But, you know, maybe it's just, you know, that Minnesota game was unique in that Green Bay was going into their first home game. Their offense looked pretty awful, to be honest. It just looked off base. In the Lions game, honestly, the Lions for almost a decade haven't been able to cover Jordy and Aaron Rodgers. So that was pretty legit what they did. And Cobb got the one catch for 33 yards. So is he forgotten that game plan? Most certainly not. But has he gotten a chance to be used in the game plan? Maybe three games is less of a time. So you kind of have to look at matchups like that and look at it like, well, nothing's wrong injury-wise. Maybe something is wrong with Aaron Rodgers. But if you're banking on him getting better, then you should also bank on the fact that Cobb will emerge at some point. And frankly, if you're selling low on these guys, you're doing yourself a disservice. Just because, you know, guys that you get in the third, fourth, fifth round, like, and they've lowered in value, what can you trade for them now? It's not like it's a Marvin Jones situation where you could probably trade him legitimately for, you know, a wide receiver one at this point, the way he's being used in the Lions offense and whatnot. But a guy like Randall Cobb, what are you going to get? Are you going to get a Rashad Jennings? That's okay. You know, I could see that because you're betting on each other to, you know, both of them to do better in the future. But if you're trying to get a guy like, I don't know, Tyrell Williams or something with high upside, I think that's a risk and something you should definitely not do.
As we move forward in this league, next week I'm facing Matt Chatham of Team Football by Football. So hopefully I can pull off a victory there as a one Patriot homer versus another. You have D-Rex of Pyromaniac.com. That should be a good battle. Let's see. Let's look at this matchup real quick here. Oh yeah, I like this matchup. But you will be facing Randall Cobb on a bye.
Yeah, I'll probably have to sub in. Well, actually, I have Bell, so I'll probably have to move. One of my receivers into flex, and then put Decker in. So, But yeah, the only thing I'm scared of is Elliott right now. And Julio Jones, of course, and DT are always scary, but Elliott's a really kind of enigma. You know, he had the great game last night, but it was against the Bears. The game before that, he had some fumbling issues, so I'm not sure what you're going to get from him. Andrew Luck is always scary. I do like Charles Sims, though. I think that was a really good pickup by him. I can't remember where he got it. It was too long ago, but I really like Sims this season so far.
Yeah, I know I'm going to be doing some waiver wire scouring, although I doubt there's anything on this waiver wire. There's never anything on the waiver wire in these leagues. You guys are killing me. I so much prefer playing against people that have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, I think when I was hyping this league to my readers, I told them, you know, leagues like this are really fun because in a lot of aspects, people are doing as well as how much food they want to eat on their table at night. You know, they're paying for their dinner by doing good in these leagues, essentially. I mean, no one's life is at stake, obviously, but as people who are in the industry, we obviously want to try to take it as seriously as we can, but try to still have some fun, of course. I mean, we can do things like draft the Chargers. At least that's what I tell myself at night when half the team is dead, essentially. But, you know, as I said, it's not only that, but it's also everyone here, their job is to basically follow breaking news. I mean, I have to check Twitter all the time, or Waterworld, or my own website for breaking news. And then because of that, it also kind of shows up in the movies we make. You know, like when Marshawn Lynch news came out that maybe he was wavering on it, he was like picked up within the hour of that news story. So, you know, it's stuff like that that you have to really compete with, and it makes it difficult for sure.
Not to set the world aflutter here, but how real do you think Terrell Pryor is? You know, when I went into the season saying friends don't let friends draft Cleveland Browns, and now Terrell Pryor made a lot of noise.
Yeah, for a lot of leagues, I think he might be available, at least 10 team, even 8 teams, the rare ones out there. 12 teams, he should have already been on someone's bench, I think, but he would probably be the pickup this week next to I already forget the kid from the Bears, the backup running back. It's off the top of my head. But it's interesting the way they used him. They used him at quarterback for some different looks. They used him at running back for a few looks. Or, you know, it was basically the same thing. His quarterback play was a strange variation of you know, I'm already brain farting a bunch now already. But it happens in the mid-afternoon. It's when the coffee wears off. But I found it interesting that, you know, they used him in this way because it seemed very effective. Obviously, their offense was on point a lot yesterday, except for the field goal. The Browns did the Browns, essentially. But I think the thing to look out for is, number one, it was against the Dolphins, which, you know, say what you want about the Dolphins, they seem like an all right team until they start the season and then show you they're not. And it appears to be one of those years again. But also taking the fact that, you know, this was the first time that they used him this flexibility at such a large rate. You know, I think the NFL is an adjustment league. And so what you'll see going forward is teams will be more prepared for this, the game plan against this. They'll realize what his limitations are, what his strengths are as the more games he does this. So if it's something that, you know, you're paying a lot for, like if you have an FAAB budget or something, keep that in mind that it could not last that much longer. Add into the fact that Josh Gordon's returning, that also takes some volume away. And also, and the fact that this are the Browns we're talking about. So it's not like they're known as a bastion of success. So this could affect the team in general, too. So just some things to look out for. I think if you have nothing to lose, go for it. I mean, it's at the point of the season where every addition counts. But I wouldn't be too surprised if it didn't work out. So
Jordan Howard is the backup running back for the
I wanted Chicago to say Kevin Bears. White. I kept on wanting to say Kevin White, but that's the wide receiver. So.
All right. Excellent. Jay, where can people find you?
Oh, you can find us over at razball.com, just on the football section. And you can find me at Jay Wrong on Twitter.
Excellent. Thanks, Jay, for joining us. And, you know, I'll wish you luck for the rest of the season, although I have a feeling we're going to meet again when it really matters.
I hope so.
During the playoffs.
So. Maybe I'll pick up the Bills again for that time, just for memories. Oh, I'm a big sentimental guy, so
that would be so good to beat me with a rival team. That's just lovely.
Thank you so much for having me.
So before we get into this Thursday preview, I had a lousy week of picks last week. It was really, really bad. So hopefully you did the exact opposite of what I told you to do. And especially if you went to betdsi.com and placed your bets there, which you can do. They're a company that's been around for over 20 years, so you know that they're safe. They've got great customer service, so if there's ever any problems, they're going to help you out. Plus, when you sign up, you're going to get 100% bonus on whatever your first deposit is. And if you use our promo code, FANUP10, you're going to get an extra 10 bucks on top of it. So it's a no-lose situation when you sign up with BetDSI.com to place your wagers. Now, going into this week and going into Thursday night, we've got the Miami Dolphins on the short week coming off of an emotional overtime victory over the hapless Cleveland Browns. We've got the Cincinnati Bengals coming off another loss at home on the short week. Now, what can we look at when we're looking at this game? I believe more in the Cincinnati Bengals as a winning team than a losing team, but clearly right now, they're underachieving. The Dolphins are right exactly where I expected them to be. I called them as my lock of the week last week, but you'll recall, I also did not believe that they would cover the point spread against the Cleveland Browns, and they did not. And as a matter of fact, it took them overtime to even win the game. So, with all of that said, we got to look at a few other things. Now, the Dolphins own this series. They've won the past three versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Granted, the last time these two teams met was in 2013. However, Ryan Tannehill was the quarterback. He's 2-0 versus Cincinnati in his career. All of that said, Andy Dalton right now is leading the AFC with 938 passing yards. He has 16 touchdowns, 6 interceptions for 103 rating in his past 10 at home. In 29 games with 100-plus rating, Cincinnati's 26-3. So, this just in, when Andy Dalton's good, so are the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, the next step is the Bengals aren't getting a pass rush going on right now. They only have 4 sacks on the season. Vontaze Burfict comes back from his suspension. I suspect that's going to help out their defense quite a bit. You know who else likes playing at home? Defensive end Carlos Dunlap. He has 9 sacks in his past 10 home games. So I do see the Cincinnati Bengals rebounding here against a Miami Dolphins team that honestly is just not that good. And I suspect the Cincinnati Bengals are to come out on top, be the winners on Thursday night. If you disagree with me, you're going to send in an email to nextfanup@gmail.com. And of course, if we pick it as the email of the week, you're going to get a $20 gift card. So, hey, that's fantastic news for you. And of course, you can tweet us at NFU Podcast. And if you've been following us at NFU Podcast, you know we've got some good tweets to talk about on tomorrow's Thursday show. And you can also follow all of our previews on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. All right, got a lot of things to cover tomorrow. I didn't bring up JJ Watt. Our Texans superfan James will be on the Thursday show, so we're going to talk a lot with him about the J.J. Watt injury and what that's going to do to the Houston Texans. The Texans, one of the top 10 teams in the NFL this season. I don't believe they're going to remain there without J.J. Watt, but maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. I've been proven wrong plenty of times, as my picks last week show. So tune in for our Thursday preview show, where we'll cover all the games on Sunday, including the game that's in England, but we will not be with English Simon. We will have a UK correspondent. There goes my computer again. When am I going to learn to mute that thing? How about I mute my microphone? There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that this game is 4 quarters long.